So anyway, I have the privilege to introduce her this morning. So this word that every word that Vicky brings is just it's amazing. It's timely. It's in season. We have all of those words that it is, and it encounters us. It transforms us. It touches us. It moves us. It gets us to think. It provokes things in us. It all of those things it does to us. But this morning, I know, is very special. So Vicky shared this with me a couple of months ago. I think I'm not really good with timing, but a couple of months ago, she had gone away to a conference and then came back and was like, I had this half-baked word. And so she sort of gives it to me in this little part, a couple of minutes maybe. We spoke about it for a little bit. And it transformed me on the phone. And I haven't stopped thinking about it since. It actually impacted me that I have been using it since. And then we went to the Queensland conference, C3 regional conference, and she was asked to pray and speak there for 10 minutes. And so she goes a little bit extra with this word. And I know it impacted everybody there, because people started speaking about, oh, when Vicky spoke, this is 10 minutes, guys. Oh, when Vicky said this morning, and when Vicky mentioned that, and I know it definitely impacted Taylor, because she brought it up for the rest of the trip there. So when there was this opening today that Vicky wasn't speaking anywhere for her to speak here, it was like, how about let's bring it out into an actual sermon? And then she messaged me the other day and was like, I think I've got a book. So I'm just going to go with whatever the Holy Spirit does this Sunday. So we are really, really, really blessed and privileged to get this message this morning. And I know it'll be transformative. I know. I already know it. So it's not even like a prayer that I hope it does. Just my prayer for you is that you open your hearts, your ears for this word, because this word is for you for today. And I'm really honored and privileged to welcome you on stage.
I love the way Pastor Lisa assumed you all spoke Italian. the language of heaven. Anyway, so, you know, I'm just to add on to what Lisa just shared then, and I rang her the other day and said, this has become bigger than Ben-Hur. It's like I've got so many points and went down so many rabbit holes. I'm hoping it's not a case of less is more, that the 10 minutes is all it needed. But anyway, here we go. We're just going to pray. Let's commit out. Oh, great, light. Awesome. So let's just close our eyes right now. We're just going to open up our hearts. Not to hear the voice of a woman, but to hear from heaven today. Yeah. So Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that your word is alive, living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you. We thank you for the open heaven here today. And I thank you for open hearts. And Lord, today it's not just about what I say, it's what you do with what I say. And I just pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would speak to each one personally right where they're at. Lord, I don't know everyone here today personally or what they're going through, but you do. And I love how you can take a word that sounds general and make it very specific to each one of us right where we're at right now. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray, have your way and have your say today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, let's read Matthew chapter 16. Verse 21 to 23. It says, from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So here we have Jesus. It's one of those situations where I've got good news and bad news. Who's familiar with that scenario? I've got good news and bad news. So, guys, the bad news is I'm going to have to die. The bad news is I'm going to suffer many things. But the good news is on the third day, I'm going to be risen again from the dead. So he's preparing his disciples. Heavy news, but ultimately good news. Peter's response is interesting. Verse 22 says he took him aside and began to rebuke him. Other versions say that he reprimanded him. Basically, he told him off. Okay, Peter told off Jesus. And it makes me laugh. Far be it from you, Lord. He begins to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. Who knows that Lord and rebuke don't go hand in hand? Can I give you a word of advice today? Don't go rebuking the Lord. Not in your best interest. To go, that doesn't make sense. That's a contradiction in terms. Peter essentially was saying, well, I know better. Really? That was at the heart of it. And even though it looks like it was coming from a good place, I've often thought that Peter is being treated quite harshly in this situation. Like, I mean, Jesus, he only meant well. Like, he's only concerned about you. And Jesus turns around and says some very strong words. He says, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. So let's just underline the word offense. Who wants to know what offends Jesus? I'd like to know what offends Jesus, what he finds offensive. So, you know, I don't want to bring offense to the Lord. Just saying, as I'm walking with him, as I'm following him, I'd rather not be offensive to the Lord. And so Jesus is perhaps giving us a little clue here as to what he finds offensive. He says, get behind me, Satan. Okay, speaking to poor Peter here, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. For you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. How interesting. He doesn't say, get behind me, Satan, for you are more mindful of the things of demons. Get behind me, Satan, for you are more mindful of the things of witchcraft. For you are more mindful of the things of darkness. For you are more mindful of things of evil. No, because you are more mindful of the concerns of man. This absolutely hit me between the eyes. That was the 2 minutes Pastor Lisa was referring to on the phone. When I saw this, I have read that verse. I can't tell you how many times I would have read that verse over the 40 plus years I've been following the Lord. I had never, ever noticed that what offended Jesus was the concerns of man. And he draws a link between Satan and the concerns of man. I'm going to read it to you in another version, in the Contemporary English Version. Jesus turned to Peter and said, Satan, get away from me. You're in my way because you think like everyone else and not like God. Yeah, that's the response I wanted. That's great. And so we're looking at two types of concerns today. Concerns of God and concerns of man. Concerns of God and concerns of man. The problem is that we often can't tell the difference. Peter thought he was doing God's work in that moment. To come to the defense of the Lord Jesus. To come to protect. To course correct. Jesus, you need a bit of course correction here. You need a bit of adjustment. Because clearly this cannot be the will of God for you to suffer many things and to be killed. That can't possibly be God's will for your life. That can't be the best thing for you. So I'm going to come in and give a bit of course correction. Peter couldn't tell the difference in that moment. He didn't set about to be a mouthpiece for the enemy. He didn't set about to be a representative of Satan. And yet, they were the dots that Jesus actually connected in that moment. Get behind me, Satan. Today I really am praying praying. I'm giving you food for thought. Some of these things I'm going to share are going to take some chewing over. Some of these things are going to take time, you know, to be formed and to for you to incubate it in your own life. And I'm praying that God turns a light on for us to identify and see in our own life where we personally have been guilty of getting the two mixed up. I pray for clarity today. I pray for discernment today. I pray that the Holy Spirit will come and encounter each one of you. Because for some of you today, God is going to set you free of concerns of man that you've thought have been concerns of God. God's going to come. He's going to cut like a knife, show this way and that. And actually, when we're carrying concerns of man and think we're doing the work of God, that can be a problem. That's burdensome. And God wants to set us free of burdens that we don't need to carry. So it seems like a heavy word, but it's actually a freeing word, that you're going to be less heavy as you walk out than what you were when you walked in. And it would be great if that was actually literally speaking. That would be fine. Anyway. So, penny dropped. In this case, Peter, a disciple of Jesus, had concerns that were not the same as God's concerns. So just because it's concerning doesn't mean it should concern us. And just because it concerns us doesn't mean that it concerns God. Now, I know this is going to fly in the face of probably a whole lot of stuff you've ever heard. Right. So he is concerned. God is concerned when you're concerned. He is concerned when you're concerned. But this is his answer to our concerns. 1 Peter 5:7 in the Amplified. Casting all your cares, your anxieties, all your worries and all your concerns once and for all on him. For he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. So it's natural to be concerned. There are concerns here today. There's concerns regarding family, concerns regarding the future, concerns regarding finances. I mean, Jonathan today, you know, he addressed there are some very real concerns on the face of the earth. And the Lord, he's not in denial about our concerns, but he says, give them to me. So your concerns can become his concerns. You're actually not designed to carry. You don't actually have the frame to carry concern. And so our work is to cast it onto him. To let it go. I know, easier said than done. I know, but this is what we are urged, encouraged, directed to do. So some of us carry the concerns of man and think we're doing God's work, but concerns of man can actually get in the way of God's work. And concerns of man can actually open a door to satanic activity. Sometimes we experience unnecessary oppression, unnecessary affliction, especially spiritually speaking, when we carry concerns, when we carry cares, worries that we're not meant to be carrying. You know, when you're carrying the concerns, God speaks to some mothers here today, carrying the concerns of children who really should be concerned about themselves by now. And what it does is it opens up a door for demonic activity when you are overly concerned. I'm not saying, now, so often people then fling to the other extreme. It's a bit like when I'm sometimes, you know, like I could be somewhere and I say, oh, can you just turn the lights up a bit? Next thing I know, I've got the full fluoro in my face. Like, just a bit. Like, people often think black and white. Here or there. Oh, yeah, it is a bit cold. Can you turn the heat up? The next thing you know, it's a raging fire. And I know some of you kind of, you've gone already like to the other extreme. Well, were you saying, I've got to be hard-hearted? Have I got to put walls up? And no, you've just gone to the other extreme. We're still called to love, but so often we can't tell the difference between love and concerns. The concerns that weighing you down, that are blinding you, that are getting you all tied up and bound, that's ripping you off of your joy and your peace, that's causing you to not be able to hear the Lord clearly. And I pray today for a spirit of revelation that we will be able to tell the difference. And I can just see God putting his finger on things today. Say, you worry too much about that. You got concerns that you don't need to be concerned about. Concerns of God, concerns of man. So let's backtrack. I want to backtrack. This is what I saw as I was preparing. Just before this moment when Jesus set Peter straight, this took place, Matthew 16, verse 13 to 16. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets, which was all wrong, incidentally. Isn't it interesting? This is a little bit of a for free diversion, not in the notes, but isn't it interesting? Some say, Jesus, you're John the Baptist. Some say, you're Elijah. Some say, all wrong. Wrong. You know, some say can be wrong. The some say about you can be wrong. The some say what the gossip, what you're hearing, what they're saying, the family members. Just because they're saying it doesn't mean it's true. Someone needs to hear that today. I feel today, right now, God wants to break every lie off people's minds, thinking you've been listening to the wrong voices, because some say more often than not can be wrong. Just the some say, the so who. I love that people come to you know some are saying who. I want names and addresses, mate. That's what I want. I do. I'm like, who? I want names. Happens a lot. Tell me, oh, just some, you know. That, oh man, it gets on my goat when they're not prepared to tell me. Tell me who. Give me their phone numbers. But Jesus says to them, "But who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, so this is Peter, right? Back to Peter. He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Peter has just made this bold declaration. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus actually says to him, bingo, you got it right. All those other blokes, they got it wrong. I'm not John the Baptist, I'm not Jeremiah, I'm not Elijah, I'm not one of the prophets. Wrong. But Peter, blessed are you, in verse 17, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father is in heaven. So here is Peter. This is Peter, who we've just been looking at for the last three pages. He gets this revelation. Straight from heaven, a download from the Holy Spirit. He declares truth. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. No one has told him that. And then in the next minute, he's rebuking Jesus and he's being told that he's a mouthpiece for Satan. The same disciple. In a nanosecond, he's... You know what this story tells me? That what the lesson is that we can be a mixture. We can be a mixture. Every one of us, spirit-filled, I'm born again, giving our lives to Jesus, talking in tongues, handa mashana mahanda, yep, doing our best, is that we can be, and dare I say, usually are a mixture. Peter speaking divine revelation one moment, human reasoning the next. Divine revelation, human reasoning from the same man. We all can be a mixture of good and evil, of light and darkness, of truth and lies, of spirit and flesh. So, how about us cutting ourselves some slack? each other some slack? How about we extend some grace? Because not one of us here is a 100% full, perfect representation of the Lord Jesus. We are not the total manifestation of God in the natural. We are a mixture. And we have our good days and we have our bad days. We hit it and we miss it. And that's the way it is. I love the fact that although in that moment Peter well and truly blew it, and for all generations to see afterwards, recorded for us all to see, Jesus did not reject him. He continued to be in that cohort of 12 and went on to be one of the founding fathers of the church. We can be a mixture. Selah. See, human reasoning apart from God can lead to conclusions that seem right, might even seem compassionate, safe, wise, but aren't right, opposed to God's plan and purposes. Peter wasn't trying to be rebellious. He was actually trying to protect Jesus. But God's will for Jesus was the cross. That was God's will. It involved pain and suffering. That was hard for human reasoning. Peter couldn't cope with that idea. How could God's will be for Jesus? Jesus, the Messiah. You've got to realize these guys had Jewish heritage, right? That I couldn't get their head around that the Messiah, who was the king, was going to have to suffer many things and die. I really believe that's all he heard. I don't think he even heard I'm going to be raised again. I don't think he even heard that. He just heard that. So, you know, Peter's motive wasn't evil, but he could not get his head around the fact that God's ways can involve hardship and suffering and a bigger plan than he could understand. And when I had a season, my first, to be honest, few months in full-time ministry. I had gone to Perth. Some of you have heard this story before, but I'd gone from Perth to Brisbane, this is 1992, to do a five-month prophetic training school, just for my own personal development. I was working in the public service here. My background is HR, and I just took leave without pay, fully expecting to come back to Perth and to come back to my job. I was in a particular church at the time that didn't recognize women in leadership, except for the women's leader, who didn't ordain women in the ministry. And I had to be honest, although I felt the call of God, although I had such a desire to preach and to prophesy, move in the power of God, I thought, I'm probably going to have to marry a pastor and be a pastor's wife, because this is the only way I can see this ever happening. And I thought, if no one else will let me preach, maybe he will. Like, I thought that was going to be the way it would unfold. But what happened was, I did this school, and with days to go, days. I mean, literally, I was due to fly back to Perth. My ticket was booked. I was running out of money. I actually used the deposit. I was saving up a deposit to buy an apartment back then, and actually used all that money and sewed it into that 5 month season, my living expenses, the tuition. And so I didn't have much money left. Actually, I had very little. And by the time, honestly, what little I had, I was giving it away, because I thought, I'm going to be back in Perth, back in my job next week. That was literally how I was thinking. So I'm sewing, giving it all away. And then the Lord, I heard a God shout. We hear a lot about the still small voice of God, but that's only one volume that he speaks at. There is ample evidence in the Word of God that God's voice also thunders. So he can whisper, and he can thunder, and he can all volumes in between. And I heard the thunder. I heard the shout, and it was, I don't want you to go back. I want you to stay. I'm like, why? Like, that was not even on my radar. Seriously, it's not. This was a Swiftie. This was out of left field. This was a curveball I did not see coming, but I knew I had a choice. It was a choice. I could have went, nope, thank you, because I wasn't mad on Brisbane, to be fair. I'm coming back. I'm coming back to my family, to my friends, to my church, to everything I had known and loved for 30 years. And what's more, in the time before I was due to fly back, I had been offered a position, like a huge promotion that had never happened to me, ever. Like, in public service, you just have to apply, look for jobs that were vacant, you know, apply for... I'd got headhunted by someone, one of the assistant commissioners, wanted me to come on board as her assistant. At the time, she was the commissioner for equal opportunity. And I would have come in alongside of her. I'm telling you, if I had have said yes to that, probably making more money today than I've ever seen for my lifetime. I'd heard the voice of the Lord to stay. He didn't tell me why, what was going to happen, what was the point of it. I thought, am I going to work in the public service here? I didn't know what this was about. And then, as I am deliberating, I was asked to leave. I was given my marching orders from the accommodation that I was at because I was too spiritual. I was super spiritual. And so I found myself in a cockroach-infested caravan with no income. And when you resign from your job, you're not entitled to any Centrelink for some time, right? It's not like, okay, I've resigned from my job, now sign up for it. I had nothing, no income. And now I'm also needing to pay rent on the caravan. I think it was $70 a week I had to pay for this caravan. And it was a matter of weeks. Maybe 3 or 4 weeks I was in this holding pattern. And I made the decision to stay. Hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life was to actually ring my mum and tell her I wasn't coming back. I've been through some seasons, and you would think that's the hardest thing you've ever had to go through. You don't know my mum. And in fact, it was even scarier to tell Dad. I let her tell Dad. Because there'd be no warning. There'd be no preparation. When you're the only daughter, single daughter in an Italian family, you don't go moving to the other side of Australia where they're not. I cannot begin to tell. Some of you will understand that culturally, even in your own cultures. And the Lord said, I want you to cut all the ties from Perth. I actually remember chopping up my driver's license. I remember closing my bank accounts. And here I am. I don't even have money for food. I mean, I don't eat unless I get a spiritual breakthrough, unless the raven comes and feeds me. Actually, for the most part, I was eating passion fruit that was growing in the caravan park. And it was tough. I can't tell you. It's like every cell in my body was in pain. Now, just to put it in context, I was living a pretty cushy life here in Perth. So public service was paying my pay, WA government paying my pay every week. I lived in Como. I was, you know, no one hated me in my church. Now in this new church in Brisbane, there were people who hated me, kicking me out of their homes because I was too spiritual. I'd never experienced that since becoming a Christian. It was painful. It was like, and I don't know if any of you know the experience, you know, like where you just feel like every prayer, like it's just, you don't even have words, you're just groaning. It's just like, I just can't even tell you how hard this was, because each rent pay due date would come and go. Don't tell me this business about, oh, Jesus comes at midnight. No, sometimes he doesn't come till 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning. Because, oh, Jesus comes just before midnight. No, I know what it is for him to rock up, just like Lazarus, dead in the ground, seemingly late. And I'm going to tell you, it's hard. I remember crying so hard, crying so hard, I would throw myself against walls to try and numb the pain that was going on in my soul. And in that time, when I was sharing with friends back in Perth, do you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to rescue me. They wanted to give me money to fly me back to Perth. This can't be God. This can't be the will of God. It was interesting because at that time, my pastor's in Brisbane saying this is the will of God. I remember even ringing my old boss here in Perth. He was a beautiful Catholic man, one of the probably the best manager, best leader I've ever served under. Like, he was just an awesome, awesome man. And he's saying, you know what? Because you don't want to be 90 years old in your rocking chair on your veranda wondering what would have happened if I just stuck it out. And so I had voices saying, stay. But I'm telling you, all the voices who I had known and loved were ready to rescue me. We're going to send you money. We're going to send you back home. Human reasoning, concerns of man, think they're doing the right thing. But in actual fact, what seemed right wasn't right. What sounded like good advice wasn't actually God's advice. Good people. I mean, good, mature Christians, some much more mature than me, more godly than me. And yet they, in that moment, because of their concern of man, were actually speaking contrary to the purpose of God. Does that make sense? If I hadn't have stuck it out, it was at about the 4-week mark. I remember a couple from church coming to the caravan. I mean, the caravan park owner kept asking about the money. I kept saying, oh, it's coming. My father's sending it. I mean, literally. It was like, and one day, one of them, I can't remember, I think it was the husband, he'd had a dream. He had this dream about them coming and me living with them. So he turned up. What's happening? What's going on? I had this dream that you were living with us. Are you happy here? And now in that whole time, the Lord had told me, don't tell your needs to anyone, otherwise you're going to go around this mountain again and again and again. So I couldn't tell people that I had no food. I couldn't tell people that I had no money. I remember in that caravan, I used to pray, and I used to pray under the blankets because everyone could hear everything, right? They're not very soundproof. And I would be like, and then I get up for air. And I'd be, oh God. And in the end, I remember saying to the Lord, you know what? I've believed. I've believed for provision. I've believed for you're going to provide me, feed for me. And nothing's happened. And you know what? I don't care if I end up being turfed out, evicted, and I die on the side of the road. Albeit on you, I believed. That's what I got to. I am believing no matter how painful it is. I'm trusting you, even though everything goes belly up. My promise seems to be doing a 180-degree turn, walking out the door. Doesn't make sense. I've taken the biggest step of faith in my life, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse. I got to that point where, you know what, Lord, it's on you. I'm believing. And it was literally the next day that this couple came to the caravan park. We've had this dream. Do you want to come live with us? I said, there's a little issue of money owing. Don't worry, we'll fix that. I said, I can't leave until this is it. Don't worry. I remember them paying that debt. I remember them giving me $500 just so I had money. And they said, you can live with us until you know what's going on, until the Lord directs you. As I was there, in those weeks that I was with them, I get a phone call from the pastor of the church. And he goes, what are you doing? What are your plans? I said, well, I'm staying in Brisbane. The Lord's told me to stay. I've said goodbye to Perth. My parents are grieving like I've died, but I've said goodbye. He said, that's just what I wanted to hear. Call of God is on your life. I want you to come on staff. I want to apprentice you in the ministry of the prophet. And because of that decision, because I yielded to the plan of God and not the concerns of man, I am here today doing what I've been doing for over 30 years. True story. Could I have the worship team, Pete and the worship team, return? And so, but I'm no different to anybody else. Honest to God, what did I do in that moment? I yielded to the concern of God, to what concerned him. What concerned him was the call of God on my life and the future he had prepared, the destiny that was ahead of me. And that defining moment, was pivotal. What is it that's pivotal for you? I believe there are decisions going to be made today that are pivotal. You see, the problem is we can't always tell the difference. We can't always. So how do we tell the difference? John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Right? We do hear his voice. This is one of my life verses. I preach on this. I teach on this. My sheep hear my voice. Everyone say, I hear the voice of God. Say it again. I hear the voice of God. And it's true. You do. But so did Peter. And he still defaulted to human reasoning, to the concern of man. It's just a part. It's just a part of the picture. So so in that case, if that's not enough, because we can get it wrong, right? Did you know that? You remember? We're a mixture. We can get it wrong, the best of us. If you don't think you can be deceived, that's the biggest deception of them all. We all can be deceived. But this is the safety net. This is the key. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We. Not just me. We. We have the mind of Christ. That means in those moments, right? We're now Peter's side because of what we're going through, because of pressure. Because, I mean, I'm saying that this is life. This is how it will be. Some of you got this idea that there's some foolproof plan that I can give you so that you're 100% always in the will of God, always speaking 100%, like you don't miss it. That seems to be the biggest fear amongst Christians. Don't want to miss it. Scared of missing it. Do you know what I mean? Like that's just a part, like missing it, hitting it. It's not how it works. Walking with Jesus isn't about hitting it and missing it. It's just we're following him. It's hearts open to him. It's people surrender to him. That's it. And we have the mind of Christ. That means in those moments when we're not seeing clearly, others will bring clarity. We need others. Some of you here today, you're afraid. You've got such a fear of control. You're so afraid of allowing others to speak into your life. And you default to, well, I hear the voice of God. I am his sheep. I hear his voice. But that actually makes you vulnerable because we don't see it all. One person does not see it all. God has designed us so that we are interdependent. That's the way it is. We need each other. People look at me, oh, prophet, hear the voice of the Lord. Yes, for you guys, not for myself. The prophetic office that I'm in is not for me. I don't come to Jesus, well, I'm the prophet of God and I get kind of like extra clarity than anyone else on my life. No, I'm just the same. I'm a sheep of Jesus, right? And so I need others. You need others. And the fear, I break the fear of control in Jesus' name. Because some of you have had such bad experiences, and it's understandable. People do things for reasons. And when we're afraid that we're allowing other people to speak into our life, then that means that they're going to get control. But no, that's actually not. You still have agency over your life. When we don't, that's called a cult. When others speak, it's just this extreme thing again, right? Because when others speak, you must do this, you must follow me, you must. Well, that is control. But then the other thing is the other extreme is independence. I'm so afraid of control and so afraid of others speaking into my life. Then independence makes us vulnerable. And independence is a place of pride. Humility says, I don't see the whole thing and I need others. I can be deceived. I need others. And so we're going to pray, right? This is what we're going to do. Thank you, Lord. First thing we're going to do is we're going to cast some care. How are we going for time? Oh, we're okay. Got a few minutes. We're going to cast some of these concerns. Who's been made aware, who's conscious of some concerns of man that you've been carrying? Anyone got to, yeah, I shouldn't really be carrying this concern. Whew, I'm starting to get hot. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to let you sit for a moment. Just close your eyes and just consider. Father, right now, I thank you for your clarity. Get behind me, Satan, for you are more concerned of the things of man, the things of man, than the things of God. Father, I pray for clarity. Father, we're carrying things that we think are that you're concerned about. Show the difference, Lord. Show us the difference today. Father, I pray for increased discernment. Increased, what's discernment? Seeing like God sees. Seeing with spiritual eyes. It's not based on natural things. It's a gift. He gives us the ability to see things differently. Taylor, you have a gift of discernment. A gift of discernment that God's going to use, not just for yourself, but for others. You're going to set many on the right course, on the right track, because of that discernment. You're going to sound an alarm for many people. They're not going to, think, oh, I didn't see it that way, but then they're going to see. The eyes are going to be opened. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father. Thank you for your Spirit, Lord. Oh, we thank you, God. Oh, we thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Oh, we need you, Lord. Yes, we need you now. We need your presence. We need your power. Oh, God. Right here, right now, this very hour, this very hour. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Oh, God, I see a new level. I thank you, Father. I see a new level. God, you're taking us, Lord, into dependence, into dependence. I thank you, Father God, for discernment rising in this place. I thank you, Father God, for opening our eyes. I see God. Isaiah 55, his higher ways, his higher thoughts. Father, where we have been partnering with the enemy and don't even know it. God, because of our, there are ones, loved ones, God wants them to grow, but we need to let them go. Right? We're concerned, but God wants us to let them go so they can grow. That's a word for someone particularly today. Let them go so they can grow. Thank you, Father. Sometimes the will of God is hard. Sometimes the will of God is painful. I feel to say to someone here today, you're suffering right now, so you think you're out of the will of God. But God says that his will is sometimes painful. You're not out of it. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. See, and I hear the Lord saying that you've got a gift of discernment. And sometimes you feel so conflicted. Because it's like concerns of man on the one hand, concerns of God. But I see peace, peace coming. I see you reconciling some things within yourself. Yeah, it's not going to be like, it's like a tug of war often because you know the will of God and yet your heart is pulled to the concerns of man. God says you're not irresponsible. He says you're not. It's not irresponsible to cast the care. It's not irresponsible to let it go. In fact, it's the most responsible thing you can do. And I see on you, and I see on you, Anton, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guarding your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I hear the Lord say a new school of thought, a new school of thought. He's bringing you a new school of thought, looking through some things through a different lens. I see him changing the lens, upgrading the lens like you would at the, you know, at the optometrist, new lens in the glasses to see more clearly in Jesus' name. He's doing that to many of you here today. Who needs an upgrade? The lens of your glasses.
Actually, Katrina, I see God giving you an upgrade of your spiritual vision to see them. You're the same. It's been a bit conflicting. It's like you're a big heart. You've got a big heart. The Lord just said to me, you've got a big heart. And you've got incredible capacity for others. I had a picture of your heart then, and I could see elbows coming out. It's a bit like, you know, sometimes a woman's pregnant, you know, and you see kind of like the foot's pushing out here and there. Your heart is like that. It's so full of concern for others. You carry. You carry a lot. But I hear the Lord saying that He's making some room for you. God wants to make room for you. More space to breathe. And He's going to give you wisdom that you haven't had before. Wisdom that you haven't had before, and an upgrade to your lens. And you're going to see things you haven't seen before. You might have seen it in part or like shadowy, but it's going to be sharp. It's going to be sharp in Jesus' name. There are those of you, and you don't need to lift your hand, but you just before the Lord, you've had that fear of others controlling you because you've been controlled before. You've had a fear of other people's voices being hurting you. Right where you are, right where you are. Eyes closed, connected to the Lord. If that's you, I just want you to just lift your hand right where you are. Right where you are. There it is right now. I can see the Holy Spirit coming. Holy Ghost, I thank you right now. We break every lie of the enemy. I thank you for your anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. And I thank you, Father, for freedom. For your word says, it is for freedom we have been set free. That we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. Thank you for setting us free indeed. These ones, Lord, who are like, I'm scared of others speaking into my life. I'm scared of them taking control. But Father, we declare where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I thank you, Father, for liberty here at C3 Stand. I thank you, Father, there is no control. And I thank you, Father, that your love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'd love us all to stand. I just love us all to stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We're going to say all together. Actually, someone else just jumped out at me. I don't know your name, sweetie. You're next to Jess. What's your name? Erin. I hear the Lord saying that it's a new day. It's a new chapter. I see Him wrapping up some things. And I see it going into the archive. When I used to work in the government, things used to go into the archive, right? Things would go into the archive and we never saw it again. And I just see a volume of your life, some experiences, a season that the Lord is saying, okay, I'm putting it in the archive. And now, it's not that it didn't happen or didn't exist. It exists. It's there. But I saw it wrapped in a red ribbon. And so God's got an incredible way of redeeming stuff that we've been through, and it makes us who we are, actually equips us. It equips us. So what you thought ripped you off actually was actually equipping you. You thought you were, no, God says it's been training. It's been training. And I see you on the train track. I see you on the right track. You hear the Lord saying you're on the right track, Erin? And it's and you're going to where you need to go. You are where you need to be. And leave it in the archive. You know, one of the highest levels of faith is just, you know, we don't know why. You know, the why, God, why? No idea. But it's like, what now? What now? We don't worry about why anymore. It's in the archive. He's got it. He's got it. And you wait and see what He does. You wait and see. What He does. You've got call of leadership on your life. Yeah? Enemy's done everything to try and... He's the one who's trying to rip you off, not God. I hear Him saying, welcome back. Welcome back. In Jesus' name. Okay, lift your hands to heaven, church. This is what we're going to do. On the count of three, we're going to declare, get behind me, Satan. I believe it's going to be a prophetic declaration. A prophetic declaration. And just when we're positioning ourselves, we're just recognizing that there are concerns of man, things of man. We choose not the things of man. We choose the things of God. Yeah? Okay, so you ready? On the count of three, and a big loud voice, we're going to declare, spiritual declaration, get behind me, Satan. You ready? One, two, three. Get behind me, Satan. And again, get behind me. All of you, get behind. Father, right now, I thank you. A line has been drawn in the sand. And I thank you, Father. Oh, God, a high level of discernment for the people here at C3 Stand. Lord God, I thank you for the upgrade in spiritual vision, the upgrade in the prescription. I thank you, Father God, that we, Lord God, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a great big hand of praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.